G'day. You're listening to The Misadventures of Beau Hogart and the Brilliant Blue-Eyed Woman. My name's Vic, plume.com. Chapter 12, Dead Cow in a Sock. Enjoy. After waking, Slick shook Amy out of her drug-induced slumber and retrieved his pistol and cell phone from the floor safe next to his bed. Then, using one of the keys he kept on a gold chain around his neck, he unlocked the bedroom door and left the room. Amy felt sickened from having done what she needed to do to ensure her and Lena's survival. How pathetic he is, she thought. He couldn't stand to be alone. If he was awake, she had to be awake too. But it was probably a blessing in disguise. If he enjoyed his own company, she'd probably be dead. Amy headed to the ensuite shower and, using plenty of soap and steaming hot water, briskly scrubbed away Slick's greasiness. She then performed her daily ritual, allowing the water to cascade over her face and body, while calling upon the great unknown to send her cleansing white light to help heal her mentally and spiritually. But worrying thoughts kept interrupting the process. Lena wasn't being cared for properly. Dehydration and starvation were regular items on the menu, and being locked inside a walk-in closet, remodeled into an impenetrable soundproofed prison, was proving to be physically and mentally damaging. Communication and escape were impossible. Slick had used irreversible one-way screws to secure steel mesh screens to every window of the house, inside and out. All the exterior doors and the closet door behind which Lena was imprisoned had been fitted with chrome deadlocks that required security codes. The two-bedroom doors had key locks, but the keys were attached to a gold chain around Slick's neck, and he was anything but a deep sleeper. The only time Amy and Lena got to see each other was at feeding time, when Slick made Amy change Lena's bathroom bucket. But he was always watching, too closely for them to communicate. To the right people or person, Lena was worth at least $1 billion. So for that reason alone, Slick had a billion reasons not to let Amy and Lena conspire. After drying off, Amy put on her fluffy white terry toweling robe and strolled past the main bedroom on her way to the kitchen.
"Should we feed Lena tonight, Slick?"
she asked, sounding unconcerned. Slick was running his greasy comb through his slicked back hair, staring at himself in the mirror, performing his Elvis Presley raised lip imitation. He looked nothing like Elvis, although his hair was identical to any B-grade Elvis impersonator's hair, except after sex, when it looked like an oil-soaked octopus had fallen onto his head.
"Yeah, not tonight, baby," Slick said, trying to sound like Elvis.
"Let's not spoil a good evening. It depresses me having to smell her and see her all putrid inside that stinking room. You can check on her tomorrow sometime, maybe, but only 'cause you been such a good girl."
"Okay,"
Amy said, feigning indifference.
"What would you like for dinner?"
"I told you already at the club. Make pizza again. There's salami in the fridge."
Amy opened the refrigerator and took out the salami, remembering how Lena referred to it as dead cow flesh in a sock.
"Put plenty of anchovies on it this time,"
Slick called out, continuing his greasy one-man show, staring at himself in the mirror while combing more slime through his hair.
"Why don't you ever put plenty of anchovies on? Anchovies are good. They're the salt of the sea, you know. Mama always put plenty of anchovies on. No one can ever make pizza like Mama did. She was a real woman."
As Amy took pizza dough from the freezer, Slick's whining voice faded into a distant drone, drowned out by thoughts of Lena locked inside the dark closet, handcuffed, hungry and thirsty, with little fresh air. The last time they'd visited her puny prison, Amy had purposely left the light on, but Slick complained about the electricity bill and removed the light bulb, locking the door for another extended period. After preparing the pizza, Amy placed it inside the oven and closed the door.
Pizza's cooking, Slick,
she called out from the kitchen.
But I can smell something a bit rancid coming from down the hallway.
Slick replied with silence.
Do you think we should check on Lena?
Amy added. Slick, now loitering in the bedroom, replied.
Ah, she'll be fine, babe. She's tougher than a physics exam.
Okay, babe.
Amy sang with false cheer.
I was just wondering how much she'd be worth if she's, you know.
Amy's new loving tack wasn't easy to feign.
You worry too much, babe,
Slick called, lifting up his shirt collar in front of the bedroom's ensuite mirror, convincing his lippy self he looked better than Elvis.
Nothing can happen to her in there. She's got water and a bucket to lay cable. Anyway, it takes weeks before you can die of starvation, and we threw some food in there a few days ago.
Amy paused.
Okay, Slick, you know best. She probably hasn't choked on her own vomit or anything like that. And you're probably right. I'm sure that smell isn't your $1 billion decomposing.
That's right, babe. I do know best.
Slick paused.
But we should probably check on her just in case,
he said, marching down the corridor toward the back bedroom. Amy arrived just behind him as he unlocked the bedroom door and pushed it open. The odor in the room was stronger than usual. Walking briskly to the closet door, Slick guardedly entered the security code into the chrome deadlock.
There you go,
he said, stepping back.
You open it. It always stinks even worse in there. She is one filthy bitch.
Slick sauntered back and leaned against the wall next to the bedroom door, crossing one leg over the other and folding his arms, trying to feign indifference.
I don't know why you worry so much about her. If she wasn't your aunt, I'd think you two were lesbians.
Lena had been imprisoned inside the closet for weeks, and every time they checked on her, it was obvious to Amy that Lena had deteriorated.
You probably are dykes. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oblivious to his drivel, Amy stepped forward and cracked the door open, just a fraction, careful not to blind and startle her favourite aunt and dearest friend. A sliver of light sliced the dingy closet in two, allowing Amy to see Lena sitting slumped slightly forward, her lower back hard up against the wall. She was barefoot and still wearing the grey sweatpants and stained grey tank top she'd been wearing when Slick had first imprisoned her, but something wasn't right. Now, even more concerned, Amy opened the door halfway. An almighty stench whooshed into the bedroom, forcing her to close her eyes and retch. Slick spewed a torrent of curse words, complaining that not even a piggery would pay money to take her. Driven on by her concern, Amy ignored the stench and opened the door fully. The sight she beheld was frightening. Lena was ashen-faced and lifeless, her bobbed hair a matted train wreck, the bags under her eyes darker than an oil company's intentions. But even more distressing, Lena's brilliant blue eyes were soulless, wide open but motionless. Amy's stomach twisted into a panicked knot, and she took the longest step she'd ever taken. Slick, noticing Amy's body language, hurried to the closet and peered over her shoulders, first to the left, then to the right, like an animated cartoon ostrich in a video game's shooting gallery.
What's going on?
His bobbing head squawked.
Is she okay?
Amy's immediate thought was to call for an ambulance and escape the lunatic asylum, but that was impossible. Instead, she knelt in front of her beloved friend, and softly, like a mother cooing to her newborn babe, she whispered her one hopeful word.
Lena.
But Lena was now a ghostly sculpture, a cold, lifeless form, her baby blues like frosted glass. With trembling hands and tears rolling down her cheeks, Amy reached out, ever so gently, and closed her dearest friend's eyes. Anguish welled up inside Amy. And as she removed her hands from her dead aunt's face, Lena's eyes flicked open, her body lurched forward, and her cuffed hands grabbed Amy's throat. Horrified, Amy attempted to break free, but Lena screamed like an insane ape and threw her to the floor, squeezing her throat so violently that neither of them were able to make a sound. Slick jumped away from the closet and ran around in circles like a shocked mouse who'd had a sheet of tin lifted off him. Pulling out his pistol, he waved it in the air but was unsure what to do next.
Y'all stop now,
he begged, not wanting to shoot his $1 billion booty.
Come on, stop now, you can have pizza pie.
Amy's eyes bulged out of their sockets and dizziness began to overwhelm her. But as her vision began to fade, Lena loosened her death grip, lowered her head, and whispered three distinct words.
Soda, can, scissors.
Slick stepped inside the closet and pistol-whipped Lena, and she hit the floor like a bucket of mud, leaving Amy gasping like a fish out of water. Reholstering his weapon, he began dragging Amy out by her ankles. But Lena rose again, grabbing two handfuls of Amy's hair, screaming,
"You fucking whore! I know you've been fucking him!"
Slick heaved at Amy's ankles and Lena heaved at Amy's hair until a huge thatch of hair tore from Amy's head, freeing her from Lena's hands and sending Slick staggering back with Amy in tow. Slick crashed against the bedroom wall and Lena fell forward just inside the closet entrance, but she immediately rose on her hands and knees like a wolf preparing to pounce. Coughing violently, Amy spun around on her back to face her demented aunt. Eyes full of burning hatred, Lena screamed, "Rot in hell, you fucking whore, he's mine!" and leapt toward Amy.
"Fuck you!"
Amy roared, raising her powerful legs and kicking the door shut in Lena's face. Slick was still sitting where he'd fallen, his back against the wall like a scared rat, his pistol unholstered and aimed directly at the closet door.
"She is fucking cracked," he declared. "I am over this shit. I'm gonna sell this lunatic today for $5 million.
When her coughing subsided, Amy felt her scalp. It was wet and warm. Rising unsteadily, she left Slick in the back bedroom and headed to the bathroom to assess her wounds. Looking in the mirror, she saw welts appearing on her neck. Bruising was sure to follow. Bowing her head revealed a Friar Tuck-style haircut, hair all around her head with none in the center. Small droplets of blood had risen and rested on her scalp like morning dew. There was no time to waste. After applying rouge, eyeliner, and glistening lip gloss, Amy changed clothes and entered the kitchen wearing a scarlet headscarf, a studded black leather choker, one of Slick's black shirts, mostly unbuttoned, and a pair of short white socks. Slick was standing at the kitchen bench holding a pizza slice.
"This pizza needs more."
He turned to Amy and his mouth fell open.
"Anchovies."
Amy glided toward him, docked, and looked up with sultry eyes.
"Thanks for helping me before, Slick. I didn't realize you could get so jealous, you sex god."
Slick stood grinning dopily. Amy snuggled in and rose on the tips of her toes, kissing him softly on the cheek. He mumbled a jumbled sentence ending with a word that didn't exist but translated as,
"Yes, prepare, 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 please."
Amy smiled, her jungle green eyes glowing as she kissed him on the other cheek. Lena's violent actions could now provide an enhanced opportunity for Amy to manipulate the liquid carbon-haired fool. But what did Lena mean by soda, can, and scissors? Did she know what she was saying, or had she become insane, losing it to the point she just wanted a haircut and a fizzy drink? But those questions would have to wait. It was time for Amy to play her trump card, a card created deep inside her imagination's casino during those dark, private moments before drug-induced sleep. Slick ran his hand down Amy's shapely back, resting his fingers on the top of her bottom. Moving her lips away from his cheek, she rested her head on his shoulder, gently breathing warm breath over his neck.
"Slick,"
she asked in a warm, smoky voice.
"You know when you said you were doing this for us, did you really mean that?"
"Of course, babe,"
Slick said eagerly.
"That's why I dumped Lena and I've been with you. She's too old now anyway and you're still cute."
Amy, hiding her disgust, rose up on her toes and nibbled his bottom lip. When his hardness pressed against her, she knew she was gaining some control.
"Slick?"
"Yeah, babe?"
"I've got a plan that will help with getting the money faster."
"Oh, baby,"
he said, eyeing Amy's cleavage, his shorts on the verge of spontaneous combustion.
"Tell me more, you sweet caramel skin honey."
"Well,"
she said, snuggling deeper into his neck,
"if you tell Uncle Lou that you've got Lena's formula in digitized form, he's going to get extremely concerned for her well-being."
"Please explain,"
he said, still eyeing her cleavage.
"Well, if Uncle Lou thinks you've got the formula on USB flash drive, independent of Lena, he'll then believe she's become dispensable.
Amy whispered her next words into his hairy earhole.
I know Uncle Lou very well, babe. If he thinks you don't need Lena anymore, he'll get really worried, and that'll get his fat ass moving with the ransom money.
Amy rolled her head along Slick's shoulder and looked up. He was deep in thought, but still locked onto her cleavage, thinking of all the possibilities that lay before him.
That is an excellent idea, babe,
Slick said, busting free of his busty contemplation.
Now you're talking. I'll make contact tonight and tell him he's got 24 hours to deposit the $1 billion.
Amy suddenly felt sick. She needed more than 24 hours to ensure her gamble worked.
That's a great idea, gorgeous,
she said, Slick's ego running to the computer to search online for a red Ferrari.
But I know a way you can get the money tonight.
$1 billion tonight?
Slick's ego ran back to his side, eager to hear the plan.
Well, firstly, I know from listening to Uncle Lou and the other money handlers in the family that you can't hurry the receipt of offshore dollars because it takes time for the release forms and approvals and transfers and stuff like that.
Yeah, but the money's coming, isn't it?
He said, his eyebrows lowering.
So?
Amy said tentatively, concerned about a negative reaction.
In a kidnapping situation as big as this, the FBI will most certainly be involved. The thing is, their modus operandi is to make kidnappers believe the ransom money's coming, but without ever paying up.
They fucking what?
They'll be advising Uncle Lou to string you along, and they'll use that strung-out time to implement strategies to take you down. It's how they operate.
Those goddamn motherfuckers!
Yeah, but here's the trick, Slick. By contacting Uncle Lou via private email and explaining that Lena's become dispensable because you supposedly have her formula on flash drive, he'll be so worried for her life he'll ignore any FBI advice and he'll do anything he can possibly do to get that $1 billion to you as fast as possible.
That fat rat bastard,
he said, focusing on the negative.
It's just normal FBI procedure, Slick. But here's the brilliant bit. I know Uncle Lou keeps around $1 million in a savings account, just in case he needs funds in a hurry.
What sort of a fucking hurry?
He grumbled, green with envy.
Well, like if an overseas holiday goes wrong and he needs to fly family out, he'll have instant cash to pay for bribes in places like Jakarta and Dubai, and for medical emergencies and things like that,
Amy said, trying to drive the $1 million point home.
Well, keep talking,
Slick said, his face still showing signs he was focused on the negative.
The fact is, if you tell Uncle Lou that Lena's formula's been digitized, he'll be so concerned for his safety he'll not only get you the $1 billion as fast as he humanly can, you can then demand $1 million surety to be deposited into your account tonight.
$1 million tonight?
Yeah. You'll have a mill now and a bill on the way with the added bonus of knowing the FBI won't be coming down on your ass.
I don't want no one coming anywhere near my ass.
Exactly,
Amy said.
Especially the FBI.
Slick nodded at Amy's logic, but his irritated ego crossed its arms and impatiently began tapping its foot on the floor.
But I don't want $1 million, I want $1 billion,
he whined, his hardness moving quickly from his pants and into his head. Amy fluttered her eyelashes against his cheek and pressed her breasts to his chest.
Slick, I'm going to make sure that you get all that's coming to you, and that doesn't just mean money,
she purred, brushing her fingers over his pants pocket, giving his ego a growing headache in both ends.
You're the smartest hunka-hunka-burning man I know, and I also know that no matter what odds you have in your favor, organizing $1 billion offshore dollars takes time. But if you make the right decision right now, you'll not only free yourself of the FBI, you'll have $1 million tonight and be driving a Ferrari down Las Vegas Boulevard first thing tomorrow morning, with me and a high-class hooker snorting nose candy off your...
Oh, baby!
Slick moaned, bursting at the seams, his greed in a wrestling match with his sexual urges.
But why would I have to wait? I mean, why would I have to wait for $1 billion but not for $1 million? What's the difference?
Slick had taken the bait and the hook was set. All Amy had to do now was reel him into shore. Turning slightly sideways, she brushed her breasts and shirt over his chest, revealing her nipples' cocoa brown areolas.
That's a good question, sexy,
Amy said, about to seal the deal on her gamble.
Savings accounts aren't time-locked. That means he can transfer $1 million to you tonight.
But why can't he do the same with $1 billion?
Does this fool believe his greed and impatience might magically change the way the banking system works? Thought Amy.
It's because large offshore accounts are locked in for a certain amount of time. It's just their stupid rules, Slick. They have to go through SARS clearance and then there's...
All right.
He whined, frustrated by more than just the details. Amy unbuttoned her shirt completely and pushed her breasts into his chest. She ran her little fingers slowly along the severe white scar that ran up his face and over his milky eye. Then, looking into his good eye, she buzzed.
You're gonna be the hottest man driving a Ferrari tomorrow, babe. But tonight, you'll be the hottest man driving me.
After she nibbled on his ear and ran her fingernails over his crotch, Slick's ego raced to the bedroom in anticipation of sex and to dream of the cash green carrot dangling before its eyes. Amy stayed by Slick's side as he opened his email account.
Now listen here,
he said, typing as fast as anyone can with two fingers in order to meet his ego in the bedroom.
Remind me to feed that lunatic tomorrow morning. She looked like death warmed up today.
You don't need to worry about that jealous bitch, you sex god.
Amy purred, sucking his earlobe.
She'll be just fine. Besides, it takes weeks before you can die of starvation.
Amy eased off her sensual attack, allowing him to complete and send the email. She then led him to the bedroom and gave him the best sex he'd ever had. Lasting all of 2 minutes, he fell asleep. His name was Slick, but it should have been quick, and that was fine by Amy. However, there was even better news. Although Slick had felt the need to lock his pistol and cell phone in the bedroom floor safe before sex, and even though he'd still felt the need to lock the bedroom door, this was the first time he hadn't made Amy take her dose of 4 sleeping pills. It was a huge sign she'd gained a small piece of his trust, and that small piece meant a huge amount. When Slick's breathing became a light snore, Amy slid gently out of bed and acquired more sleeping pills, just a few so Slick wouldn't notice them missing. After showering, she swallowed 2 pills to keep up her tolerance and lay gently next to the 2-Minute Man, aka the quick dipstick named Slick. While drifting off to sleep, Amy heard her necklace beep, reminding her if Slick died, so would she.
Breaking news, we've just been told the end of Chapter 12 may already have happened. We now cross live to Elizabeth Queen on the scene.
Yes, it is certainly right. We have now reached the end of Chapter 12.